from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. I'm glad that you're joining with us, and I hope you'll stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as you listen in to the Word of the Lord. Today, our preacher is the Reverend John Greer, and he's letting the Bible speak from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and verse 54, on the confession of the Roman centurion. But before we hear that message and also some words in song, I want to take a few moments to have you consider some words found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. She hath done what she could. This is a reference to Mary. Mary was a believer, a child of God, and her faith wrought by love. It was love that brought her where the Lord was, and she did what she could to honour Him and express to Him her deep gratitude. Surely an excellent example for us to copy. It can't be said that we have done all that we could. We can't say that, really. Have we loved the Lord Jesus as much as we could? Have we been as much in prayer and in praise as we could? Have we done as much as we could to spread the truth of God's Word, to see souls brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we done as much as we could to oppose the devil? Have we done all that we could for the comfort and the prosperity of the Church of Jesus Christ? Have we done all that we could for the neighbourhood in which we live? And so we could ask these questions about many areas and many aspects and many things. We mustn't forget that the devil does all that he can. He does all the mischief that is possible. Many wicked men do all they can to destroy the souls of others. But the times that we are in call upon us to do all that we can. Let us therefore seek more grace and daily remember this woman of whom it is said, she hath done what she could.
Thank you. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54, we have some very powerful and interesting words. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." In order to have a full grasp of the confession of the Roman centurion who was present at Christ's death, we must read both Matthew's, Mark's, and Luke's account of the crucifixion. When we read all three records, it will be found that the confession is most clear and most impressive. It would certainly seem from what this centurion confessed that he had suddenly been converted as he stood near the cross, and he was moved to confess the one who had saved him. His confession was twofold. When we combine Matthew's and Mark's statements, the first part of his confession was, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Luke's record is that the centurion said, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Combining the two statements, the confession was that beyond all doubt, the righteous man on the tree was the Son of God. In that confession, there was pure Christology. It was a confession of the person of our Savior, his true humanity, and his essential deity. The centurion declared that Christ was the Son of God, thus that he was a divine person, but he also saw his real humanity, and especially did he note the sinlessness of his humanity, for he called him a righteous man, or a just man, as it could be read. Therefore the centurion was given a clear revelation of the true person of Christ, the Son of God, who became man in order to save sinners through his sufferings and his death. His confession is striking in that it was undoubtedly used by the Lord as a rebuttal of the wicked throng around the cross who had scoffed at Christ being the Son of God. In verse 39 we read, for example, "They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And as we read on down these verses, we find that there was much scoffing poured upon Christ. There was much mockery brought against him. And yet in the midst of that throng, there was a voice raised in his defense, the voice of this centurion. When we read carefully, we find that what was really under attack at Calvary was the Lord's person, as we've already indicated. And there was that cry, there was that question raised, "If thou be the Son of God." As we read those words in verse 40, we can hear the voice of the old serpent. Because you might remember that when the Lord was beginning his ministry and when he was tried in the wilderness, the devil came and put that same question, "If thou be the Son of God." And now when the Lord is in the very depth of his agony and his suffering, the serpent returns, and through his agents, those who stood around the cross, religious leaders, those who had no love for Christ whatsoever, the same question is raised, and we know that the devil is at work. And therefore it is most apparent that the Lord sovereignly and powerfully worked in the centurion's heart to have him raise his voice for Christ. The very language that he used would certainly indicate that his confession was in response to the slander of the Pharisees. The centurion had been present during the entire time that Christ had been on the cross. He would have heard the cavil of the Lord's enemies, but now he confesses that there was no doubt that the man on the tree was the Son of God, irrespective of what the Pharisees had said. His words were a rebuttal of that evil lie. And as we read Luke's account, we find that it is recorded there that in making this great confession, the centurion glorified God. His confession is all the more remarkable when we consider who he was. He was a coarse Roman soldier. He was hard and unfeeling. He had witnessed many crucifixions and other scenes of the most brutal kind. Moreover, he had overseen the nailing of the Lord to the tree, the distribution of his garments, the raising up of that wooden gibbet, and its being placed into its socket. He was the kind of man whose soul was apparently impervious and incapable of being stirred and moved. Therefore, it was not the physical aspect of the crucifixion that moved him. There were two others there, you might remember, the two thieves. They were enduring the same kind of death, but their sufferings made no impact on this man. Therefore, we might ask the question, what was it that was used to move him so powerfully and bring about his clear confession of the Saviour? Well, the Gospel narrative gives us the answer to that question. First of all, may I point out to you that the centurion would have been moved by the particulars of Christ's death. He had witnessed the many details of the Saviour's actual death, and undoubtedly he was moved by them. In Mark 15 and verse 39, we read these words, and that is the parallel passage to what we have here. Mark 15, verse 39, "And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." It was the Lord's crying out and giving up the ghost that deeply impressed the centurion. This was but the climax of more than 6 hours of redemptive drama, and it was all of that that moved this soldier to confess the Saviour. We'll come back and look at that somewhat more. Be sure to join with us in our next broadcast.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the Gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.